Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Hello, Charlottesville. It's been a while. Well, it's our first episode back to Blokes on the Bench. And the studio was a bit quiet, but it's myself and Alex. How was your summer, Alex?
It was a good summer. Big changes for me. Had my first child.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, life is different.
I find this really strange this summer. Usually I feel like a complete absence of soccer, and I'm trying to find any little soccer fix I can find on the TV, like a Champions League game or something like that. But this summer, I don't know if it was my personal circumstances, but it didn't feel like it's been that long. It felt like the Premier League just kind of bounced in again. It was like, whoa!
Yeah. I mean, there were the international games just after the season ended, and then there were a good number of games in the U.S. So if
right.
you were watching those games in the U.S., what do they call it? The
International Champions Cup?
Yeah, exactly. And so there were some really good games in there, the El Clasico.
Do you understand what the International Cup is? Because I'm having trouble understanding it. There's an American version, and then there's, I guess, a Chinese version. Like they kind of switch each year. Like some of the teams go over to China. It's the same competition, but it's just in a different part of the world.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't understand the full mechanism of it, but really, the teams get to choose where they go for the most part. It's not like a requirement. So,
right. For
instance, Mourinho has said that he thinks that the team's doing better this year because they went to the U.S. as
right.
opposed to going to China or something like that.
Okay, so let's
familiar surroundings will always be good for any team.
So obviously we've skipped the first 2 weeks. We're not into the third, and next week is obviously there's going to be an international break.
Yep.
So let's get into sort of the teams and sort of like how you feel they're doing so far.
Sure.
Let me see where the table is. So at the minute, again, we're 3 weeks in. Manchester United are sitting in number one with 9 points. How do you feel United are this year compared to the previous three seasons?
Well, so they only made a few changes, but pretty big changes.
Right.
Lukaku coming in was clearly their biggest signing. Matic from Chelsea was a surprising signing. Was kind of surprised that Chelsea sold him to a direct rival.
Right.
But United look like the class of the league right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won the league overall. Obviously, we're only three games in.
Right.
We'll go through some of the games, but United look very strong, and they're going to be hard to take down. Last year, what really was their biggest problem were these 0-0 draws, particularly at home. And it seems like with Lukaku, they have someone that can put the ball in the back of the net. Granted, he didn't do it today, but he did quite consistently the first two games, and I would expect him to get back on the score sheet when they come back from the international break.
The thing that I find about watching United, especially versus Leicester, was the fact that for the most part, the last few seasons we would have played almost exactly the same, in the sense that we would have been trying to get the goals, but we would never have got the creativity up front was just not there. Because it took us this game it's actually taken us the last two games until past the 80th minute before we've scored.
Yeah. So this one, it wasn't until Rashford came on in the 67th.
Both substitutes scored.
Both substitutes scored, and the Lingard had an assist who also came on. And so, shrewd moves by Mourinho, for real. Mourinho has proven now that, again and again, whether it's with Chelsea or now with United, that He can make the changes those little tweaks that are going to define a game.
Because he did that with the last season that he won with Chelsea, which would have been 2015. He only bought two players that year.
Yeah, he had a strong squad for sure coming in. He inherited most of that team from,
of course,
the previous manager.
Do you think he's happy now with United
He's got to be. I mean, if he's not happy now, when would you ever be happy, right? I mean, the team is strong throughout. I think that their United's biggest weakness is still in defense. They signed a few players, that one Swedish guy.
Perisic, or whatever his name is, going to come to United? Because there's all this talk about him. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It seems to just kind of linger about and disappear and then come back.
I was surprised that United didn't buy Keane, who Everton bought from... I forget where he was before, but he was with... not important. But Keane had a really good season last year, and he went for big money to Everton, and I was surprised that United didn't sign him. He seemed like an obvious buy in my eyes. But still, the team is very strong throughout.
So speaking of United and Everton, obviously one of the big moves this summer was Rooney back to Everton. Do you think he's happy back home? Do you think he's going to be...
Well, he's playing, right? He's getting the minutes. He's scored twice now. He's looking pretty good overall. He's going back to where he grew up, and that's a great story for him to kind of get back where he started. It was the most logical move. And I thought it was an interesting move that United ended up buying out his contract instead of having to for him to actually like to move to Everton for a fee. So,
well, do you think maybe that could have been the fact that they already knew they were going to try to get Lukaku, and then Rooney at that point was just... surplus to requirements?
Well, no, sure. And I think the thing was that no one was going to pay Rooney the wages that he was on with that contract. And so no one really could afford that. He was making 200 grand a week or something like that. And, you know, those kind of numbers are really only going to be for, you know, the top six clubs.
Sure.
He wasn't going to go to a top six club. And so they had to make that move just to get him off the books. And so it was a one-time kind of sunk cost to do that. And then he was free to go wherever he wanted. And he went home, of course. And Everton is where it is. And he's had a pretty good start of the season so far.
I think it's going to suit him. The fact that, with all due respect to Everton, they're not top four. Not yet, anyway.
No, they proved that today against Chelsea.
Right. But I think that type of Rooney's get on. He's, what, 30-something now?
Something like that, yeah. He's up
there.
He's
a little slower, and I think maybe Everton's play might suit him better than a United, where they're going to, you know, top level.
Sure, yeah, and I think that for a player like Rooney, it's a lot about volume. So just getting those touches in the game, getting those minutes, and getting those chances. And, when he is on his day, he's as good as anybody in the world. Of course, he has less of those days now that he's a little bit older than he used to.
He's in twilight.
Yeah.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. If you want to get in contact with us, 434-284-9470, or you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. All right, so in terms of clubs that are going through a bit of a transformation, forgetting the Huddersfield and the clubs that have just come into the Premier League, I think that Tottenham are the ones that are going through a bit of a transition period and are having a little bit of a shaky start right now. There's a lot of talk about, and you were mentioning this just before we came on air, about the fact that Wembley Stadium, which is where they're playing while the new stadium is kind of being built, is a little bigger. How do they get around that? Do they just practice on a bigger pitch? I mean, is there any way that they can, I'm trying to find the right word for it, but acclimatize to the pitch size?
So they do have their training ground. They don't train at Wembley, of course.
Right.
They have a training ground not too far away, actually a pretty new one that's fairly nice. But it's, they have their pitch that they train on now is the exact same size as Wembley.
Okay, so they have done the measurements and stuff?
Yeah, and what they were talking about in the game today was that a lot of times that because of the way, I guess, the stadium is set up, is that your eyes can deceive you in terms of distance.
Right.
And, of course, when you're playing, it's not like you're measuring out how far you're kicking it. You just see it and you kick it. And it happened for both squads today where it looked as though they were struggling to really have that accuracy on long balls. And that's a big part of Tottenham's game, particularly with Endeverald and Vertonghen passing to, like, the wingbacks or to Dele Alli up front on long runs. And those runs, they weren't really connecting. And so we're only a couple games in now at Wembley, but it does look like Tottenham are going to struggle to some degree there. Sometimes it's the little things where, like, when you're at a game, you don't have your old buddies that you used to next to you. You know, you get your season tickets with just your friends, of course, but then you know the fans around you. You've been going to the games with them for years. And when you change stadiums like this, you don't have your friends around you when you start.
There's no history when you go into
the club. There's no history.
Right.
And then when you start to get into your chance, there's not like, they may not be the same, you know, vocal people around you. And it was pretty quiet today.
And this is going to happen twice, because obviously you're going to try to get used to being at Wembley for this season, and then next season a whole new season starts in a completely new stadium again.
Yes, exactly. And I honestly think that they'll play better in the new stadium, whatever
right.
it's going to be named. I think that this year they're going to struggle, but then next year I think that they're going to really be title contenders. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's going to be an interesting season for sure. And we saw maybe the potential for Tottenham continuing to lose points today, where they let in a late goal, which, you know, in some ways was actually warranted because they weren't really playing well at the end of the game. And, you know, when you don't play well in the Tottenham and in the Premier League, Tottenham, you know, showed that you're going to give up a goal and you're going to drop points. And that's what they did today.
So, has Tottenham bought any players this season? Because it's been I haven't heard really anything from Tottenham that front. I know obviously Walker and went.
Yeah, so Walker left.
City.
That was the big move earlier in the year to Man City. I thought that was actually not bad business. They sold Walker for a world record fee for a defender, around £50 million. Which is, I mean, just outrageous money for a defender.
Not complaining, though. You've still got all that money to kind of...
No, and exactly. And so we took that money and we reinvested in a younger player, Davinson Sanchez, who played for Ajax and played pretty well for Ajax. He's from Ajax, and this guy, he's like super fast. And Ajax, of course, went and played Manchester United in the Europa Cup final last year, and he was a big part of that, leading them through that. He's really young; he's 21 years old, and you know, I think by the end of the season, we'll be saying that he's a better player than Walker.
And so, don't think there's anything maybe to add to your team? Go out and buy, because obviously, what next week?
It's Thursday. The deadline. It's the 30th.
There's no business you think you could be.
I would like to get maybe another midfielder, maybe an attacker, like wing or forward. You know, there's talk we're going to sell Vimmer from here, and we're going to sell potentially Janssen, who we bought just last year. So if we sold him, we wouldn't have any backup striker. So I would hope that we wouldn't sell him without having another option. But really, the team is really strong, and we have a few players that are out injured still. Eric Lamella, who people forget about, but he's a good winger, and he's had a hip injury that's been almost a year long now for him, and he had surgery finally. But he should be coming back in a couple months. So they are going to get some reinforcements just from players coming back
right.
from injury.
Okay, so let's move on to a team that, like, obviously Mark can't be here, so we'll try to go easy on him. Arsenal. We're not Arsenal fans. Obviously, we're trying to be impartial here. What is going on with that club right now? Is this the dying croaks of Arsene Wenger? I mean, is he out?
Well, you know, he just signed a new contract for 2 years. So he's the opposite of out. He's in. And much to the chagrin
Andrew's
of many...
Andrew's face-banding himself right now.
Much to the chagrin of most, not most, but many Arsenal fans. You know, I don't know what the numbers are, but...
And Sanchez, there's rumors abound about him leaving by Friday or Thursday.
Sure, yeah. He doesn't want to stick around. I mean, if you look at the number of players that have 1 year left on their deals, it's amazing that these players are refusing to re-sign. I think they all can see the writing on the wall, whether it means that Wenger's leaving, there's uncertainty with the club, you know... Arsenal usually is one of the best at keeping their players and then selling them when they want to sell them.
Right.
Now it seems like the players are making those decisions for them, which it hasn't been like that in the past. And, you know, it has been for some of the big ones like Nazari and maybe Van Persie. But usually Arsenal gets to keep who they want. I mean, they're one of the top clubs in Europe. And so it's shocking to see where things are now. Arsenal are playing really poorly today against Liverpool. No effort. It was as bad as it gets. Lee Dixon was doing the commentary,
right.
And he said it's the worst he's ever seen Arsenal play in person since he's retired.
And he couldn't take anything positive out of the game as well.
Oh, wow, how can you? I mean, there was no energy. None of the players played well. Ozil was a joke, as usual. It was a pathetic display. I was confused by the selection at the beginning of the game where he left Lacazette on the bench and had Welbeck playing instead. You would think that you'd want Lacazette and Sanchez to get some time together, some minutes, to see if this can really work if obviously Sanchez sticks around. It just, you know, some baffling decisions, and then the players did not come to play.
Like, yeah, I think it's time for Wenger to get out and kind of, you know.
There were chants in the stadium today saying Wenger out, Wenger out.
Somebody like Claudio Ranieri or someone like that, who's been in the Premier League, has won the Premier League, and hasn't just played for like a club that at the point when he took Leicester City was obviously a lower level club, but you know, Chelsea.
He did win the league. He's won the league more recently than Wenger, and you know,
all Wenger has is just, he's won the league once, and that was 2002, was it 2003? The Invincibles.
Yeah,
and then other than that, it's just been time and FA Cups.
Is that really the only time they've won the league?
I think so. They didn't. I'm trying to think. I believe that was the only time they won. That was the year of the Invincibles. But yeah, I think it's time for him to go and basically do a bit of a shake up, a bit of spring cleaning, I guess you could call it. I think the only reason they're keeping him is because he's been there for so long. And while that is kind of admirable in today's age, where like managers are kicked out, you know, 4 months into a contract, it's not going to help them in the long run.
No. I mean, one of the things they were saying today was that he's never walked away from a contract, whether he was playing.
Maybe the club need to walk away from him.
Well, that's the thing, is the board needs to make a decision. But I think this goes back to the conversations we had last year, and that is Arsenal really trying to win the league, or are they run as a business? And so if you're running for just, you know, the books and trying to make profit, you're gonna do things differently.
They didn't get into the Champions League this year.
They did not get into the Champions League
for
the first time.
So even more reason to get rid of him.
You would think so, right? It's very surprising given the situation.
Right. But anyway, yeah, so Man City.
Man City also looks strong. You know, they made a good number of purchases. Walker, of course, is one of them.
Jesus is back playing as well.
Yeah, Jesus.
Injury.
Yeah,
I keep calling him Jesus, obviously. Jesus.
It's spelled that way, yeah. Yeah, he scored again today. I think they said he has 8 goals in Premier League games.
He was only in, what, 2 games last season before he got injured?
Yeah, he was only in for a couple, then he got injured, then he came back late in the year. He was taking Sergio Aguero's spot last year, which was a surprising move, I thought, by Pep. This year, he's playing the two of them together, which I think is the logical way to play things and being a more of an attacking-minded team, with you have like really two strikers out there. So you know, it certainly is it's a strong team. You know, they bought a couple other guys. There was a guy from Monaco that they bought, and they bought, I think they spent something crazy like 100 plus million pounds on defenders, because they also bought that the defender from Real Madrid, who's the left back. And so, or maybe he's another right back. I think it's crazy what the money that they were spending to buy, and really their issues weren't, no one really thought they were out wide. Sure, they got rid of some of their older players, like Zabaleta.
Sterling's playing really well.
Yeah, Sterling's played really well. And he's had 2 late goals for them. Today,
he's like their super sub.
Today he took off today he scored the winner, and then he ran semi close to the crowd, to the away team.
Cried endangerment or something like that.
Yeah, and then some of the fans jumped onto the field and got close, and then Mike Dean gives him a second yellow, and that's a red, of course, and then he's going to be suspended for the next game. I wouldn't be surprised if that was overturned when they go to they'll appeal that, of course, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was overturned in the end.
So we still have got one of the big names to talk about, Chelsea. This happened before with Pedro, with the Morata deal. United looked like it was a United deal. It was going to go through last minute. Oh, no, I'm off to Chelsea. And this happened a few years ago with Pedro as well.
Yep.
It's exactly the same story that happened. If he wants to go play for Chelsea, I'm not going to stop him. It obviously shows you where his loyalties is. So,
But was that more of a Morata issue or more of a Real Madrid kind of dragging their feet? It seemed as though United wanted Morata over Lukaku, and it just seemed like Real Madrid, they gave him a couple, United gave Madrid a couple offers for him, and they weren't really, they didn't seem like they wanted to negotiate. It almost seemed as though they didn't want to sell him. And so United, it seemed like they got frustrated and went to Lukaku at that moment.
And then he goes to Chelsea.
And then he goes to Chelsea pretty quickly thereafter.
This could be something to do with the fact that we're not willing to give him De Gea?
Probably. I mean, they probably would want some kind of swap going on there.
If we're unwilling to sell him, well, you know, they're just going to get stubborn and Spanish and be like, no, we're not selling him either.
No, and you know what? I understand that. There's nothing wrong with being bitter and playing those games. I mean, he still sold in the end. They knew they had another buyer in Chelsea, so it wasn't a problem.
All right, guys, we'll be right back after this break. The time is now 6:20. All right, we're back. I like that A-team kind of music going on there. That's pretty awesome. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the clubs that have just kind of been promoted up, newly promoted teams. They have the most likelihood of being dropped within one season, so you're kind of looking at them and seeing how well they fare. Huddersfield are sitting in third place. It's Man United, Liverpool, then Huddersfield.
Crazy, right?
I don't think that's going to last too long. But Huddersfield is still at Christmas and they're...
And Huddersfield haven't lost. You know, they drew today to Southampton in a game that was 0-0, but had some good excitement. There were some hitting of the post and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it was Huddersfield have been, I would say, the surprise of the year for sure. You know, we're only three games in, but it's always exciting to see a newly promoted team do extremely well starting off. I mean, you can look at Leicester, of course, being a team like that. You can look at Southampton years ago. Swansea as well have also done similar things when they got promoted. I mean, but at the end of the year, more than likely, Huddersfield will be in the second half of the league, and they'll be in the bottom half of the table. And, you know, I don't particularly expect to see this form continuing, you know. But, hey, you know, they already have in a way. It's not easy to get in the Premier League. And
who did they play? Do you remember?
Yeah, so...
I can find out Huddersfield. Was that this weekend? Southampton?
So they drew
with Southampton.
Well, they beat Newcastle, and they beat Crystal Palace on the opening weekend. That was the away win. And so that was Crystal Palace are playing horribly. They're right now, they've had three games played, of course, and three losses, and they're second to bottom of the table just on goal differential to West Ham, who are also playing horribly. Huddersfield beat Newcastle, who have looked horrible. That's one of the other teams that have been promoted. But then today, they look great against West Ham, and so West Ham are in big trouble.
I thought with the manager that they had that got them through the Champions League.
Rafa Benitez.
Right. I thought with having him, and they did make a few good signings early on. Like, I remember when they got promoted, they went out and bought, like, two or three players. And I thought, okay, this could be a strong team. I mean, you said they look good today.
They look good today. They looked absolutely horrible in the first two games. The first game they played, Newcastle played Tottenham. They didn't look very strong. They made it tough for Tottenham in the first game, but really what happened was that Tottenham weren't on the top of their game, and Tottenham really haven't been playing well overall. That was at Newcastle, so the last time Tottenham had played Newcastle was 2 years ago when they beat them 5-1 in the last game of the season. When if Tottenham had won that, they would have been second and been ahead of Arsenal, but they blew that one for sure. But then the next game, Newcastle lost to Huddersfield, looked really poor, and then today they play West Ham. Or I guess it was yesterday,
yeah.
And they looked dominant. I mean, they looked really good, and I think that says a lot about really where West Ham is more than Newcastle.
Okay, so it wasn't the fact that I mean West Ham are pretty poor at the minute. I mean we beat them 4-0. Like,
in West Ham, they made a good number of signings, and it looked as though they were, you know, on the up and up towards the end of the second half of last season.
After Joe Hart and that. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And after they sold
Payet,
they were playing really well. And then
that was a surprise as well, though, because everyone thought when Payet left
that they were not going to be as good, sure.
Right. And then Carroll and everyone else stood up to the plate and kind of...
Well, Carroll hasn't played so far this year, I don't think.
Right.
And so he's back with the injury bug. But Lanzini has been injured as well. He came on in the second half today or yesterday. They had the first goal in the game today was a total giveaway by this 18-year-old debutante for West Ham. It was really sad. This guy Rice, and he was playing pretty well, and he just kind of lost the ball in the midfield, and there was a nice pass through that ended up being the first goal for Newcastle. And then Newcastle just continued to run, you know, right through them. It was again and again. It was a bad display by West Ham more than it was anything else.
Well, guys, don't forget you are tuned into Blokes on the Bench, myself and Alex. If you want to get in contact, if you want to say something on the phone, 434-284-9470. Or you can get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. All right, so this just to give you some idea of how in trouble Arsenal are. And, of course, this is 3 weeks in. But they're sitting in 16th spot.
Yeah, I mean, and they're what, they only have the 3 points from the opening game of the season, which was a true cracker against Leicester. That was a great game. And Giroud had to really save them at the end, if you remember. Right. They could have easily lost or even drawn that match. You know, Leicester looked like, even though they're just above them in the table with 3 points as well, but beating them on goal differential, Leicester look a lot better this year than they did last year. And they, even though they're 15th on the table right now, but they played some tough competition in Arsenal and United. They won their other game as well that they played.
So, top three favorites for the league, from what you've seen so far?
In no particular order.
Right.
It looks like really it's going to be a battle between the two Manchester clubs for the league title. And then after that, you know, I think Chelsea, they had that surprising loss to Burnley on the opening day. You know, it's always hard when you go down a man, and Cahill, I think he got a red in like the 14th minute or something like that, and then Burnley scored 3 goals, and then Morata scores a goal and kind of gets him, and he didn't start for them for some reason. And
no,
like,
you're right, he didn't.
And then he brings him on, he scores almost instantaneously, and then later Fabregas gets a second yellow, and they go down to like 9 men. And then Luis gets like a late goal for them, but you know there's no chance that they were going to win that game when you're down to 9 men and down a few goals like that.
So who do you think out of the British clubs is going to do well in the Champions League? Sometimes that's even harder to predict. The clubs that do well. I remember that year. Remember Chelsea won the Premier League. They got trounced on when they played.
Yeah.
The Premier League.
Well, I mean, if you look at the teams that have been really impressive so far. Liverpool have looked really good. We haven't spoken about them.
No.
And United and City. Liverpool have a very easy draw.
You guys are in it, though, right?
Tottenham are in it as well. Tottenham have a really tough draw. If you saw the Champions League draw, they have to play Dortmund and Real Madrid, which is, yeah, I mean, your eyes
my
right
eyes
now
like
tell
out
the story.
My
yeah,
glasses.
I mean, it's they have a very tough draw. And so, you know, they're on paper, second, maybe the third best team in the group. I mean, Real Madrid, you would not expect to even drop any points along the way. I mean, Real Madrid have looked absolutely dominant this year. They destroyed Barcelona in the Super Cup earlier this year. And
of course, in the Manchester United game in America when they went to penalties, just the professionalism. I'm sorry. Did you see the penalties at Real Madrid?
Yeah, they were just so crisp and just.
What? Of course, just yeah. Dead on either side of the net and up and scouting them up in the air. What was going on there? Anyway, I'm sorry. I had to say that. Like that was the worst performance I've ever seen two clubs at penalties I've ever
yeah.
seen. But yeah, you're right. They do look completely dominant. Like.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be the favorites for the Champions League again. That'll be 3 in a row, which I don't think has ever been done.
What about Paris Saint-Germain now that they have...
With Neymar, yeah,
Neymar.
Sure. Yeah, PSG, wow, that would be a final, right? Real Madrid, PSG, that would certainly entertain us and give us some good things to talk about. Will it happen? I mean, hey, PSG were the better team against Barcelona last year until the last 10 minutes. If you remember, this was that epic comeback game where Barcelona scored like 5 goals or something like that,
yeah.
And 5-1 or whatever. I forget the final score in the end. But actually, it's funny that we get to that game because I read an interesting article that said that game was the reason, potentially the reason, that Neymar left Barcelona. And that's because Neymar had the game of his life. Neymar had... I think it was two or three goals, and he had an assist or two, and he played unbelievably well. But then the picture that gets circulated on the internet is a picture of Lionel Messi on someone's shoulders, and in almost like a kind of like Messiah-like, like Jesus-like
picture. So he's kind of
like
putting all this hard work in and then just kind of getting overshadowed by
exactly.
Messi.
So he was in Messi's shadow, and so if he was ever going to really break out of that shadow, either Messi had to retire, which isn't happening anytime soon, even though he is getting a little older, or he had to move on. And there was so much money involved. You know, it's not like...
Well, you would have thought... I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to... I'm just going to look at the facts, right? The Spanish League has more money in it because there's just a lot more of Barcelona, Real Madrid fans.
The league overall.
But the league overall is not... I don't think the league overall can compare to the Premier League in the sense of the... just the raw competitiveness of it.
Well,
one
of the things that the Premier League has done really well, it's kind of like the NFL. They do revenue sharing better than any other European league. And in Spain, a lion's share of the revenue goes to the big clubs in the big cities. So Barcelona, Real Madrid, and to a lesser extent, Atletico Madrid, and then maybe Sevilla. But like it's all about each team has their own TV contract within the country. It's not they don't divvy up the money like they do in Europe or I'm sorry in England, and that's a big reason why England is such a competitive league is that every team gets crazy money. I think it's like
right.
I don't even know what the numbers are. I don't even want to guess, but it's many million. And they say that the championship game for who gets promoted in May is the world's like richest game because the winner gets millions and millions by coming to the Premier League. And now
there's
always an
incentive to go one step because obviously if the Champions League they get
another big
too.
One. Yeah, if you can get out of the group stage, you get big money. Yeah.
So controversial subject. What do you make of this new NBC deal, sort of gold, I think it's called, where like now, last year, obviously, if you had whatever television contract you had, you're with, whether it was Comcast or whoever, you paid that amount, and that was it.
Yeah, you pay your cable provider, you pay your satellite, and then with that you can watch any game in the Premier League anytime.
But now... it's like you still have to pay for that to get your NBC, but now NBC is like, no, wait, there's another $50. It's only $50 a year. I suppose that's not too much, but for half the games are now going to be shown on that particular channel network.
It's basically every game that's not on TV you have to pay to see.
And I think it's every team it happens to at least once, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tottenham happened today, so I had to buy it. So I went out and
what did you think
and splurged. I was disappointed in the quality of the feed I got. It was, in theory, I'm going to be watching a pretty much a high def feed, and it would look most of the time when you're watching these, it looks exactly like you're watching it on TV through your cable or whatever. But it looked obviously like an internet feed for me, and I for having just paid $50, I was surprised that the quality was what it was.
I mean, in a way, it is good because let's be honest. Whenever there's a profit margin where people are like, wow, we can make money off there's gold in them hills, I guess you could say, then they're going to run for it. So in a way, it's showing that the Premier League is healthy.
Yeah, but I think what happened was that NBC paid a huge amount of money for
the Premier
League. And they
couldn't get it
back. And so maybe they're not getting that back in advertising and whatever other sponsorships that they're doing, but they could get it back from the fans themselves. And so... in a way, if before when it was Fox that had the Premier League games, you couldn't watch every game.
No,
they didn't have.
It was just dictated whatever you got.
The game was either on TV or it wasn't, and there was no internet feed that you could really watch all the games on. If $50 is what means that I can watch every Tottenham Premier League game, I'll pay that.
Because even with the United game this weekend, there was obviously the local channel here wasn't showing all the game.
And what a disgrace. I mean, this has happened a few times where NBC...
Alex is going off on local TV channels.
Oh, man.
Turn it off.
I'm disappointed by NBC that they'll show college basketball over them, like later in the season. They'll show college football over Premier League. If you look at this town, Charlottesville, there's a good number of Premiership players or people that support the Premiership, and various teams. And so I would hope that the best games are going to be on TV. And that's the thing, is those games that are on NBC, they're generally the best game of one of the best games of the right. of the weekend. And the United-Leicester game was a really good one as well. And that was the one that was, for whatever reason, they were showing like high school football highlights. It's like highlights. Here, it's not even like a real game.
Like, as somebody that lives in this country, you know, you got under. I kind of can't feel mad about it because, you know, these are sports that obviously Americans watch, and soccer is not. Is it even in the top three? Even with
no,
the
no.
right? So I think I'm like, you know what? Fine.
I mean, I get it. If it's a good game that they're putting on over it, if you look at like just the quality of the matchup,
Virginia Cavaliers, I'll understand that.
Yeah, if it's a good UVA game or a good, you know, college basketball game. I get it, but yesterday it was high school, like football documentary or something like that. It's like, what is this?
Well, you know, it's going to come to me at some point where I'm going to have to buy it. So, I know that.
Well, I may be able to share my login. I don't know. Is that? Are you allowed to do that?
Shh. We can't give that information out.
Well, I'm not going to give out my login.
Suddenly,
he's going
like. Well,
other than to my dad who got that today.
All right, so. Brighton Hovian. Have you seen them play?
I caught their first game against Man City. There was a lot of build up towards that one. They had the whole NBC crew there. They actually played really well. They ended up losing that game 2-0 to Man City. And it was actually that game I think is one of those where it's like wake up call to anyone getting promoted. First of all, you're playing a team that has spent hundreds of millions of pounds and dollars for new players. And then on top of that, it was like a giveaway that led to the first goal. And then the second goal may have even been like an own goal. And so it was like, hey, you know what? The Premier League is cruel. If you make a mistake, you're going to get punished. And, you know, maybe that's not the case always in the championship where they came from. But it was definitely a pretty impressive performance against one of the better teams in Europe, I thought. You know, since then, Brighton haven't played super well. They've got a draw, and so, you know, credit to them for getting that today. Really, they should have got 3 points, I think, today. The Britos got a red card for a really horrible foul. If you saw that, he came lunging in, and it was studs nearly to the knee.
I saw that.
He came in like Karate Kid or something like that, or Bruce Lee or something. It was bad. It was really bad, and a legitimate red. And, you know, from there they hit the post even before that play, and then they had plenty of chances later. But they get their first points of the season, which, you know, credit to them for at least doing that. That was on the road again, so, you know, getting a draw away from home, any points away from home for a newly promoted side is something that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is now 6:40. All right, guys, we're back. All right, so let's kind of get into some of the games. All right, so Saturday, Manchester United versus Leicester City. Again, another strong performance by United. I think that Leicester kind of parked the bus a little bit on us. The last three seasons that we've played under Van Gaal, and last season with Mourinho, I don't think it would have been a draw.
Probably,
But we had that little bit of creativity up front. And yes, it was both players that we had last season, but I think with Matic on the team and with Lukaku, but not necessarily scoring, but just knowing that he's there, it gives confidence to the...
Yeah, I mean, their performance so far this year has given them... And that's the word, confidence, is that Mourinho has said again and again, is that the team is confident and that they feel like they can win. And this wasn't what they had, particularly in the second half of last season, in these games that start to grind and that, you know, you can hear the crowd start to groan and it's like, right. Oh, not this again. But now there seems to be this kind of energy that continues to build throughout the game. And, you know, you mentioned Lukaku. He had a pretty horrible PK today, I thought, against Schmeichel. Schmeichel saved it. Apparently he'd gone the same way five times in a row or something like that.
But wasn't Schmeichel off his line as well?
Goalie is off their line when PKs are taken. And that's just the way that, you know, let's give the goalie some kind of advantage. I mean, they're getting the ball stared down their net. I mean,
Right.
It's a letter of the law, yes, he moved early. But every goalie does the same thing.
Right. Another thing that, and you pointed this out as well, like all three subs had something to do with the scoring. We had Rashford, Fellini, and then, of course,
Lingard.
Lingard, yes, Lingard. He came on and he gave an assist. So even if it was a corner. All right, so then Crystal Palace versus Swansea City. Crystal Palace are just looking terrible this season. Like
they really are. It's shocking how poorly they're playing right now. You know, another team that looks like every now and then has bursts of looking good, and then all of a sudden they come back down to reality. Yeah. Swansea has a 19-year-old Abraham on loan from Chelsea who scored his first goal for the team, and he scored it in the 44th minute. It was kind of a lucky goal, but you know, they all count. IU had another goal later that was like a really well stolen ball from Naughton, Kyle Naughton, former Tottenham player, and great through ball to IU, who then kind of somewhat bumbled it into the keeper, but got lucky, came off his leg, and then he just tapped it in. But overall, yeah, Swansea were the better team, and you know, the results showed that.
Okay, so Huddersfield versus Southampton, it was a draw. Is that a good result for Huddersfield?
Any points are good for a newly promoted team, even if they're at home.
Because Southampton are not the worst team in the world.
No, I mean, Southampton were, what, in the top half last season, I think?
Season before that, they were, what, number one for until Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, Southampton have played really well in the past. Southampton aren't the same team they used to be. I mean, they've lost so many players because, you know, they just don't have the economic power, and a lot of teams go and buy their players.
What they have, I think, that most clubs don't, maybe United or one of them and Ajax, are known for is the youth, bringing the youth through. Obviously, like, Bale came through Southampton.
Mane for Liverpool.
Right. There's a lot of players that came through that. There comes a point where you have to retain some of these players and not just sell them for profit.
I mean, if you're a Southampton fan, it's got to be so. See some of the best players in Europe play for other teams and have
Luke
them come
Shaw,
through your
Lallana,
academy.
All of them go.
Oh man, but that's the thing is when you're a smaller club with not as much economic buying power, you're going to lose your better players. And you know what? You'll see that. Anyone can go to pretty much anywhere, and the only teams that really don't seem to have that problem, it's like Real Madrid. I mean, it used to be Barcelona, maybe Bayern Munich, and it's like there's really not many teams that where like
retention
players always get funneled. I mean, even United lost Ronaldo to Real Madrid, and you know United had just won the Champions League. So,
all right, so Newcastle versus West Ham. You were saying that Newcastle looked pretty terrible up until Saturday.
Just because of timing, most of the Newcastle games were actually on TV, and I happened to be watching the games, one because Spurs were playing them, and then another time they were, I think it was the game against Huddersfield last week that I caught as well on TV. And yeah, Newcastle have not looked great, but today they look pretty good.
It only takes one good result, though, for a team to kind of turn it around. And
exactly.
Get confidence.
It's confidence, right? That's the word that we're using for United, and it goes for all teams.
All right, so Watford versus Brighton. Obviously, Troy Deeney. My boy.
Your boy.
0-0. Again, this disappointed me. Brighton, I would have thought Watford would have...
Well, this is where Britos had that red card, and so Watford were lucky to get points, even though it was at home in the end. Brighton hit the post, and then hit the post again later. You know, if you're a Brighton fan, you wish that you should have been. I mean, you get the point; it's your first point ever in the Premier League, but you also think that should have been 3 points today.
Right. All right. So Bournemouth versus Man City.
So, yeah, I mean, this was an interesting game. I mean, Charlie Daniels hit an unbelievable shot.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah, I mean, that one is up there for goal of the season. Greggy was messaging us.
Yeah, I saw the message. Like, I always know that it's a good goal when Greggy says something like, take a bow or something like that.
Yeah,
hope you're
watching,
listening, by the way, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a left-footer, just struck it right across the net to the top upper 90 on the far right side. It was a great goal. But then after that, Jesus scored, and then Sterling in extra time we spoke about earlier with the goal off the deflection, but then the weird second yellow. You know, Ake could have gone for a red card for a last man foul on Jesus there. You know, the game could have been much different in the end if that happened. And you know, Otamendi hit the post. I mean, the scoreline could have been much bigger right than what it was.
I actually think Sterling could be one of my. I hate to say this because I'm not a fan of Sterling, but if he keeps playing like that, he's going to be Manchester City's super sub. You know, coming on and really making a difference.
Sure. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for him to do that. He's not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer quite yet, right?
Fingers crossed he's not. All right, so let's go to today. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit. Let's rub it in Mark's face even more. Liverpool 4, Arsenal 0.
Wow, I mean, this was a performance that really shows that Arsenal are not the team they used to be. And the tendency you want to do here is just to rip on Arsenal again and again and again.
But we do need to point out Liverpool.
But I think that's exactly where I was trying to go with that, is Liverpool looked fantastic. I think Jurgen Klopp has really changed the way that this team plays. And from an energy perspective, Firmino had an early goal, and then Mane on the counterattack. I mean, they're talking about, like, Coutinho may go to Barcelona for some crazy fee.
Right.
But you know what? That may not actually slow them down at all with Mane's playing.
He's Barcelona quality, Coutinho, though? He only seems to score from the same range. It's that sort of 30-yard out kind of shot.
You know what? If you're Liverpool, I'm shocked that they're not taking what's on the table.
How much are they?
It's like $130 million or something insane. It's like these are like what used to be world record fees as of last summer, and they're turning them down for a player he's good. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Right, but honest question, though, and I was talking to Ryan about this, because I was saying that United need to buy another striker. It's great to have Martial and Rashford on form, but they're young. We want to have somebody else out and out, kind of like Lukaku. And I sometimes forget Lukaku's only a few years older than Martial. But how many strikers are there that are actually available for anyone to buy right now? It's pretty limited. You're going to have to go to either lower league Spanish teams.
Or lower league anywhere. I mean, so really the thing is, though, is that who's going to want to sell when there's only a handful of days left in the transfer market, in the window, and you can't necessarily get a replacement unless there's someone already on your team. So unless you're getting, unless you're like, you know, a lower club that's just looking for the money, and, you know, why would you sell at this point? It's going to be
You're going to need more money. I mean, I'm guessing, like anything, like, you know, the closer it comes to the event or the deadline, the price goes up.
I mean, according to Daniel Levy, the price goes down. But
really?
That's why he always waits. But, I mean, that's Daniel Levy. His transfer policy is different from most. One of the more frustrating things as a Spurs fan. I mean, you would think that, like, yeah, as it gets closer, the price would go up.
Is he something to do with your club? I've never heard the name, so.
Oh, no. So Daniel Levy is the... I don't know what his official title is, but he essentially runs the club.
So he's kind of like your version of Ed Woodward, like kind of.
Yeah, he's like the chair of the board, and so he has the final decision on everything.
Okay.
And so he's historically known to buy in the transfer market to wait until the very last minute to make moves. Like Sissoko last year, literally like signed at practically midnight. You know, it's funny. I had to go back a long time to think, and like this year again, like. Davinson Sanchez, I mean, we only just got him last week, is pretty late. And, you know, the season's already started. Ideally, if you're a fan, you want to have your team set by the time the season starts. And really, even before preseason starts, right? So that they can get together, they can gel. You're not gelling during the middle of the season. But, hey, that's, you know.
But I actually think that, I mean, I get you on that point. You don't want to be going into the Premier League with any uncertainty, but at the same time, like, those first few games, like Mourinho or whoever can look at it and go, yeah, we're doing well or we're not doing well, but we need something a little extra. And that's what those first few, those weeks that are left that are in the Premier League are good, you know, good for being like you said, United need to bolster up their defense a little bit so they can make that last-minute signing to kind of strengthen
that. Yeah, no, I mean,
that.
I get it. And or if there's, like, an early injury, you know, all of a sudden, you know, someone goes down, you're like, oh, wow, we need another whatever. There was actually talk before the season. Actually, I don't know when it was exactly, but about closing the window before the season even starts. And that was kind of, there was some momentum on it. Some people liked it. Some people didn't like it. you know, we'll see what happens there. It's gonna be hard to change that when there's so much money getting thrown around late in this.
It's getting silly now. Getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it's over $1 billion or £1 billion, which, you know, so well over $1 billion the last two seasons now.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. 434-284-9470 if you want to hit us up on the phone or get us on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now, let's get on with Tottenham. I will mention this also. I don't know if you've heard the news that Ibrahimovic wants to be fit for the Spurs game in October. That is what he said.
I mean, good luck
squeaky
to him.
Squeaky bum time?
I mean, good luck to him. I mean, he had a pretty horrific injury early this year. To come back from that and be able to play just 10 months later, or, you know, maybe it's even nine, I forget exactly when he was injured, would be surprising. You know, I'm never going to tell any player to not shoot for big games, and you want to see players healthy. And I think it's for the best of the Premier League if Zlatan was available. Would he start? Probably not, right? With Lukaku, he'd probably, if he'd come on.
If he lasts 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, so. Yeah, have a run out. But I don't see him being healthy by then. You know, the original talk was that he wouldn't be healthy till January. So that's very early.
The other thing I was going to say about Tottenham is, you were saying about how one of the reasons that maybe they're not playing as good right now is the fact that the pitch size.
Yep.
That can be used in your favor, though, because you can. You said you're practicing now on a field that's that
width and
width diameters, yeah, whatever. Game, yeah. But nobody else is. Well, so when Liverpool comes to play with you,
some of the other teams do have bigger fields that are the same size as Wembley. Like, for instance, West Ham has they play in the Olympic Stadium, mm-hmm. So it's a similar size. And some of the random teams that you would never know of. That have bigger fields for just whatever reason. So with Spurs, they have to play this high press, and with the high press, it's all about cutting down angles, and it involves basically just being on the ball immediately. Once you lose the ball, the first thing you want to do is get the ball back, and it's a very aggressive kind of way of playing. But what it means is that if the field is wider, there's more area to cover, and so you've got to be bet more fit. And it also means that the opposing team has more places to play the ball.
Right.
And so Wembley being bigger, you know, in theory shouldn't change them because, you know, when they go on the road, half the time they're playing on bigger fields anyway. But for whatever reason, it's is it in their heads? I don't know. I mean, so what happened today was Spurs didn't look great necessarily in the first half. We were playing Burnley. And went to halftime 0-0. We scored pretty early in the second half. Dele Alli off of a corner that kind of the ball just kind of sat up for him and off a and then he kicked it once and it got deflected or blocked, and then he got it the second time and just kind of passed it in the back of the net. Didn't celebrate at all, which was kind of weird, and the commentators were wondering why he didn't celebrate. They said maybe he got he got chewed out maybe at halftime, perhaps. But then, you know, for the most part, they looked good until maybe 20 minutes left in the game. And then you could just tell, like, the momentum shifted to Burnley. And Chris Wood, who just came from Leeds United for £15 million, which a lot of people were saying, this guy's not ready for the Premier League. He's not good enough. He ends up scoring the winner. And so, it was a disappointing result for Spurs, and you know, you want to just put that whole Wembley conversation to bed and never hear it again. Games like today are not going to help things. So we'll be talking about this next week and the whole international break, I guess, which is not ideal.
So yeah, that's the other thing that I don't like about the fact that United are now playing pretty well. There's other teams that are playing pretty well, like Liverpool. We have an international break next week and the week after. I believe we're back on the 10th. So we're just back today, and then we're taking another 2 weeks off for international break, and then we're back on the 10th. But that does throw your momentum off.
Sure. I mean, this happens frequently where teams are hot going into international breaks, and then they come out and, you know, maybe something happens, some news happens. So, you know, what if something were to happen to a United player? The momentum shifts. It could happen to any team, you know, both positive or negative. It's not always negative. And it'll be interesting to see what happens during the international break this time. Of course, they're doing World Cup qualifying for Russia next summer. which will be an interesting World
Cup. Lots of favors and everything, lots of dodgy dealings and dodgy referees,
$100 handshakes
and right.
under the table deals. As Russia.
Funny, that ball went over the line, but it's still not counted. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the last two games. Obviously, Chelsea versus Everton. Are Chelsea going to be the same team of late last year? Like, I mean,
well, you know, I think they proved that they were the same team as last year when they beat Spurs last week in Wembley, not being the better club. I mean, I thought Tottenham were the better team last week. And Alonso had two goals. One was a great free kick. The other was really a gift from Lloris. Today, it was some nice play by Fabregas for the first goal. A nice 1-2, really 1-2-2-1, and it was a very weird situation where Morata kind of double hit the ball and kind of drew in some defenders at the time, and then Morata passed it back to Fabregas, and who slid it in, and Morata had the second goal with a nice assist from Azpilicueta. I thought it was a really good performance by Chelsea for the second week in a row, and so maybe that first week was just all about losing Cahill early and going down to 10 men and then 9 men, and less so about anything else going on. So
what do you think of Morata so far? Do you think he's a good signing? And again, we're only 3 weeks in, but
I mean, he's performed in Italy, he's performed in Spain, and he's already got two goals now, and so he seems to be the real deal when it comes to for Tottenham. So
all right, so the last game, obviously West Brom versus Stoke, not much really to talk about, 1-1. All right, so let's go on to the way that the table is now. Man United is sitting in number one spot in nine points. And then, obviously, Liverpool in seventh, here in second. Huddersfield in third, Man City in fourth, fifth West Brom, sixth Chelsea. I mean, this is obviously all going to change as we go along.
Sure.
Watford in seventh, Southampton in eighth, Tottenham in ninth, and then, obviously, number 10, we've got Burnley. Okay, so September 9th, which is the date where the Saturday, the weekend we're back, Man City versus Liverpool.
That's going to be a cracker, right?
That'll be a really good one. I think Liverpool.
I wouldn't be surprised if it ended in a draw. That's what I would put
Arsenal versus Bournemouth. Bournemouth 4-0. Brighton versus West Ham. Everton versus Spurs. You have to beat Everton.
We should, yes.
Leicester versus Chelsea.
Should
Southam-
be a good game.
Yeah. There's lots of good games this weekend. Southampton versus Watford, Stoke versus Man United. Stoke have always traditionally been, at least for the last few seasons, Man United's sore point. Like, we just can't get past them.
Yep.
And it's at Stoke's home too. And then obviously Sunday we have Burnley versus Crystal Palace and Swansea versus Newcastle. So, I mean, we'll
should
be back.
Should be a good weekend.
Exactly. We'll be back, guys, that weekend, which is the 10th. Have a great 2 weeks for the international break from myself, Andrew, and
Alex.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.